の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
Well, Oli, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. You've had an amazing career, and you made some amazing predictions too, as well as the restriction on freedom of movement last year. I read a little bit about that. What do you see happening now? How long do you think this will last? What kinds of things are you looking at happening now?
Whoa. Have you got about 6 hours?
Are
we talking about the current corona or the riots or the combination? Or
the combination in 25 words or less. Just kidding. No. You can have more than 25 words. But
I think it's very important to, if you want to understand what's going on, you need to get a helicopter view, an aerial view. Otherwise, you will miss the whole point. If you see this as something that is happening in the States alone, or in England or Germany, and so you have missed the whole possibility of understanding.
Sure.
In my opinion, I based it on almost 40 years of nerd, I don't know what to call it, tinfoil hat digging research, deep research.
Right.
And
right.
So what I would suggest is that I believe that if we start with corona, the corona pandemic, alleged pandemic, was meant to be much, much harder. The whole idea was to hit the world on October 23rd and 24th in a massive way, with 39 coordinated attacks in Europe, including the destruction of the harbor in Rotterdam, which is the main port for food import to Europe, and also one nuclear power plant and one water power plant in Sweden. All of these attacks, which was planned to be coordinated within 36 hours, including an earthquake caused by HARP in Albania, which is southeast of Europe. This was planned to happen on the 23rd and 24th of October, together with Event 201, which was on just 5 days before the pandemic simulation, as they call it. I would call it a super, super part of what we have actually or are experiencing. So the whole idea was to hit us massively in October. And I humbly believe that I was part of stopping all of these attacks, because I found out about them 48 hours before and did everything I could to get out on as many international radio stations within 24 hours. We reached more than a couple of 100,000 listeners. And so many, many people were aware of this. And this, according to a freelance journalist in Brussels, which is the capital of Belgium, but also the head of NATO, where the head of NATO is located, they said that all of this exposure of these planned attacks caused an absolute chaos within NATO, because what we're looking upon, I would humbly suggest, is the New World Order, where NATO, the World Health Organization, the United Nations, all of these are part of the structure of the New World Order. And so NATO has been used through its Gladio ghost army, very secret network here, especially in Europe, to carry out a lot of these alleged terror attacks, alleged mass shootings and so on, including these attacks. So there was a big crisis meeting on October the 23rd, where all the defense ministers of NATO were called into Brussels for a crisis meeting. Also, you had Vice President Mike Pence and the Minister of Defense was turned around. They had to turn around midair on the way they were in the Middle East for a crisis meeting in Washington. And then you had an article on the very next day in a very well-respected website called VoltaireNet.org, where the article was titled NATO Near Implosion. And on the very same day, you had all Israeli embassies shutting down globally. So there was a whole lot of commotion going on. Wow. I believe because of these operations half being stopped, the attacks being stopped. So I believe what happened was that they had to regroup at that crisis meeting and say, listen, there's too many people are aware of what we've been planning. So what we need to do is keep a low profile until this blows over. And then they went for January the 1st. And so I believe that the idea was when the simulation took place, is it okay if I go into great detail like this?
Yes, please go right ahead. Okay. I have quite a bit to tell you too, but please go ahead. Yeah.
Excellent. Anyway, so on the very same day as the simulation in the virus simulation in New York, 5 days before these alleged planned attacks, there was also the World Military Games in Wuhan, China, where there were military staff from more than 100 different United Nations nations in Wuhan, of all places. And so a possible scenario would have been to create chaos, absolute mayhem in Europe, with all of these alleged attacks. Several of them, I guarantee you, was aimed at NATO's headquarters, which would then justify military retaliation, just like Pentagon. It was not by coincidence that Pentagon was hit, because that was the thing that justified military intervention. So these military games, I believe, I'm speculating now, but I think that the idea was to create absolute chaos in Europe and then get all of these soldiers flying back from Wuhan to help with get the country sorted from this mayhem, and then, without knowing it, bringing the virus to their countries. One go, you would have like more than 100 nations officially infected by the virus. But that did not happen because these attacks were stopped. So instead, what we've seen from January the 1st and onwards is like half the plan. And this has caused a lot of weird things, you know. It doesn't make sense, because half of the jigsaw puzzle is missing. So you got all of these things that halfway fit, but they don't.
Right.
And yet they managed to get the whole world in lockdown without a single shot being fired. I mean, you have to give it to them. How did they do it?
Right.
And then if I continue a little bit, we went for the Corona thing, which I believe was there for one thing, as a first step to global control. I mean, we're looking at the New World Order and global fascist overtake, but also where the vaccines is the problem reaction solution. It's the old Roman template, where the solution is the real danger. Absolutely not the virus. It's the vaccines that is to fear like it was plague. I mean, if they came anywhere near any of my loved one with one of these needles, I would treat it as it was a machine gun, I tell you. Yeah. And so I think it came to a point here where they kept us locked in for months while they rolled out 5G when we were in lockdown, as many of these towers have come up here, especially during nighttime, because 5G is needed for the overtake with AI and smart cities and so on. So because of the push for that whole thing, and that now so many cities are getting fed up, or countries, and just saying, but it doesn't make any sense. Why on earth are we being locked down? So then they had to let go of the pressure. And at the same time, with a diversion away from people's awareness, away from the Corona scam and who Bill Gates and his buddies really are. So boom, in came George Floyd and the riots that was totally manufactured. And here we are in a whole massive distraction away from the main thing, I would say, which is the 5G smart city rollout, that and the whole, you know, like it. ID 2020, and it's full spectrum on, you know.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, Oli. Here, I interviewed, I talked to George Floyd's attorney spoke with him a couple weeks ago. You know that George Floyd actually died 3 years ago in Texas. And the guy that they've got is a fake, and they were all crisis actors. The two police, I'm sure you know this, were wearing fake badges. They were crisis actors also identified at Sandy Hook. The nightclub owner where they allegedly worked at was also somebody from the crisis actor from Sandy Hook. So the whole thing is a scam. And when I mentioned that on my radio station, they threatened to cancel my show. This is why I have a new online show now in San Francisco. And why this will be played from my San Francisco base, not from Seattle. They won't allow you to speak on my Seattle station.
I can only say that I've done multiple shows saying more or less exactly the same as you. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, I think it's very, very important not to jump to any conclusions, but to really go step by step by step by step by step. And so this whole George Floyd is an incredible false flag operation. I mean, with all the boxes ticked and all the psyops, and it's so multi-layered and so totally staged.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're giving me confirmation for what I know, what's happening with Mr. Floyd. But people here, many of them don't listen to me. They think I'm crazy, but it's nice to get the truth out nevertheless. What do you think is going to happen next? I have heard several predictions, including an attack on the Muslims here, a false flag attack, another one involving a false flag attack on Hispanics, and the third release, a release of a more virulent virus in the middle of September. Anyway, that's what I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard many things too.
It's all of these things are speculations. We don't know.
Right.
But
right.
What they do is they have very few weapons against us. One is the one I said, problem, reaction, solution.
Right.
The few in power secretly create a problem to get an emotional reaction from us, like George Floyd. We go emotional, race, the whole police brutality. That's the perfect one where you don't think, you just rush in and follow like sheep to the official narrative and let you be guided in whatever direction they want you. And then they will come with a solution, which every single time is the same. It's more and more control, more and more Robocops, more and more surveillance, more and more the police turning into military forces and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So another one they have is diversion. So we had a massive diversion away from the corona, Bill Gates, also this year's Bilderberg meeting, which was supposed to be held, it's always the first week of June. So there's more or less every year around the 25th, there's something that goes boom over here. So I said on shows before, it's just a matter of where will it come from? Where will it say boom? And then it was George Floyd. It was on Memorial Day. They also love these dates. You know, the dark forces, they love these like Valentine's, Halloween, Veterans Days, these type of things, because it's not, we think Valentine's, oh, it's so beautiful and romantic.
Right.
When you look at the background, the history, it's a satanic Halloween as well. And so many of these dates have a whole different meaning to the dark forces. And so on the 25th of May, was George Floyd, but you also had, I believe, the Manchester Arena bombing, the alleged bombings in Manchester, London, England,
right.
You also had the alleged beheadings of the British soldier Lee Rigby in 2013. All of these were 1 week before the Bilderberg meeting, and then boom. So the whole media who might have been on their way to try and see what is actually going on with this shadow government puppet, the Bilderberg, or not puppet,
right,
but tool.
Sure.
Then suddenly they were looking over here, and exactly the same happened this year. And now on the Bilderberg's official website, they say, well, unfortunately, because of corona, the meeting was canceled. That, I believe, is absolute BS. They met somewhere in private while we were looking at George Floyd and all the rest of the mayhem. So we're being played with. That's the whole thing. It's psychological warfare. Full spectrum on at this point. So what are they going to do? Divide and conquer is one of the classical one. They haven't got that many. So what they want to try and do is, in whatever area you are, they will use that type of problem to divide us. So if it's If it's in Iran or the Middle East, there would be the Sunnis and the Shiites. If it would be in Europe, it would be immigrants and the national population. Sure. And in the US, they have the racial card. They can always play that one and just throw that one in. And then you have the whole thing with police brutality, which is true in one way, but it's also being used as a psyop. You have to see that this is, we're in the world of smoke and mirrors. That is the name of the game. You are at a fun fair with mirrors, but they also pump in smoke, and it's a labyrinth. And so it looks like one thing, but it's a totally different thing. And what to find out what is actually going on, not easy.
There's a scene, right? It just reminded me of a scene out of Thunderbolt with James Bond going into this labyrinth of different mirrors, and he was trying to, the fellow was shooting him and he was shooting at him, and so he couldn't tell where he was because of all the mirrors. You could have smoke there. That's what I just thought of, that the smoke
that,
mirror.
That's so. Exactly it. And it's just like, it's also just like Jim Garrison says in the movie JFK. He says, listen up, folks. You have to understand we're in the world of the CIA, black and white. Black is white and white is black. We are behind the mirror. That's what he says. So it's like everything is upside down, and they're built in multiple operations at the same time, you know, to create chaos and confusion. And they pump in fake information. Like, for instance, this whole thing about George Floyd and Derek Chauvin being that they've been working together. No, they have not. He died 3 years ago, and the other guy, who is he? I think it's a phantom identity, you know. Yeah. So they pump out all of these things that would keep us going and digging around and trying. Yeah. Oh no, it was because they were involved in illegal arms dealing or fake counterfeit or whatever. Yeah, keep us busy. That's what they want. Keep us busy. And in the meantime, they will get on with business while we are confused over here.
Sure, right. So, but the good thing is, Willie, I really want to thank you for alerting people as to what was going on last fall, because that helped change the course of history. They weren't able to continue with their plan simply by getting the message out. And I've run into some censorship, too, on my show. That's why I've started my new online show. With you, of one of my first guests. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. What other plans do you know of that you could tell people so they could be aware of what they might try to be aware of a false flag in the future?
No, you have to see the whole picture first, because all of these other false flags are just distractions. They're there to distract you. It's boom, boom, look over here, look over there. It's like just when a magician is on stage, he will show you things with his left hand. Oh, look, a flower, whoa, a white dove. But actually, it's not there. It's happening behind his back. So we have to learn to not look. If it says boom over here, I look there. If it says boom to the left, I look at the right, to the right. Everybody else looks that way, I look this way. Do you know? Because it's part of all military operations, all black ops, all psyops, distraction. So there will be some kind of a boom in the media. Okay, did Bill Clinton get a blowjob or not? The whole media was there for months and months.
I know.
But what was actually going on at that time? That's what you have to look out for. When the whole media is looking that way, it's for a reason. So we should be looking that way. Do you know when the Martin Luther King's family, there was a court case in 1999 it was a court case about $1, because the King family did not want it to be any kind of, that they would be accused of doing it for the money. But anyway, in this historical court case, James Earl Ray was freed, and it was proven that the U.S. Different parts of the U.S. government was involved in the assassination. So how many of the main channels were there for weeks and weeks sleeping outside. Do you think how many months were they there?
No one
there was one local reporter that were there all the time. I mean, that tells you what is going on. And then you got like Michael Jackson, OJ Simpson, you know, like Monica Lewinsky, these type of things.
Sure.
For months, you're looking direction.
And
there's really the court case of the century, and no one is there. No.
Amazing. That's amazing.
That was a very high-level case. I mean, there should be media from the whole world,
right?
But there wasn't.
Right, right. Amazing, amazing. Well, it's like now. First the virus, and now the Floyd riots, and it's kind of like people are wondering here, what next? You know,
yeah,
and they push it all the time.
It's like what I like is what I call Farmer Brown logic. 1 + 1 = 2.
Right.
That's it. You know, if someone with a fancy white coat and a big badge with lots of titles says, of psychophysicist, blah, 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 says 1 + 1 = 34, it doesn't make it true. It makes it, it's very obvious that he will say that for a reason, and he will be totally corrupt or forced to do a stupid thing like that. So you know that 1 + 1 = 2. Stay with that, because the truth is often very simple. But what we're being told is a deception. It's like a magician that is putting spells on you and pushing our attention away. And also media has weaponized words to, I mean, it's so advanced at this point. And they use the words as spells as well. It's not by coincidence. It's called spelling. Can you spell this word? It's they're charged, some of them, when you know.
I see what you're saying.
When you know how to use them, this is the same with the legal system or the authorities. They write English, but you will not really understand. You will feel helpless, because it's like a language you don't even understand what you're being accused of or whatever it is. You're just like, okay, there's an amount. Okay, I better pay that and give up, you know. It's part of the warfare against us.
Interesting.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't really answer your question. I would very much suggest that people look into Agenda 21.
Okay.
And Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030. That is the plan of the New World Order in great detail. It will freak you out if you haven't looked into it. It will freak you out. More than 193 countries, I think, have signed it. I mean, it's madness. It's pure madness. It's the darkest of the dark of the dark of the darkest future. You can't even imagine Agenda 21. But it looks very pretty. It's got a pretty website and all of these things. And and the architects of this was Maurice Strong, who was who's one of these people in the background really pumping up the New World Order. And a former Norwegian Prime Minister, Gro Harlem Brundtland, who's a super Bilderberger and, oh my God, very much involved in the mass shooting in Norway, not as one of the shooters, but part of the whole operation there. You know, also this former Prime Minister of Norway, Jens Stoltenberg, who is now the head of NATO, not by coincidence, but as a reward for his participation. But what it says is that what the elite wants. And I just want to say, Agenda 21, it says it was called Event 201 in New York. Not true. If you look at the logo, it's Event in gray, Event 2, and then there's a circle like a globe, and then a 1. The circle is orange, so actually it is Event 21.
I see. Okay.
It's not 201, it's Event 21 connected to Agenda 21. And Agenda 21 stands for the 21st century. The agenda for the 21st century.
I see.
And what they're aiming at is pushing us, like they want to get rid of 2/3 of us in through vaccines, through wars, through starvation, all kinds of horrible stuff, not a very nice one. But vaccines is major in the killing of a lot of us. That's the plan. Then they want us in smart cities. They want us to off the where we can, you know, like be self-sufficient and grow our own food. And so they want us into the cities where we can be controlled. Right. And so the cities will be so-called smart cities where everything, and they're pushing hard now with 5G to get us into these cities where everything is a digital grid, where everything is speaking to each other, like your toilet chair will be talking to your fridge, will be talking to your phone, will be talking to your TV, will be talking to your car, will be talking to your chip. And so the whole idea is that you will be under total control. This is where ID 2020 comes in as well.
Okay.
And with the cameras and so, and also all the autonomous vehicles is to get the normal vehicles away from us so that we can't drive wherever we want. There would be certain areas that would be controlled by this digital grid. So the car would just go to the edge of it and stop and turn back and go the other way around.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So this is, if you remember, sorry if I keep ranting on, just stop me if you
want. No, please. That's fine.
Okay. So if you remember a year ago, even 2 years ago, there's been like a couple of years where there's been so many vehicle attacks, like driving into crowds, driving into, and so what happened there was that suddenly people couldn't drive anymore, or how come? Because this is a phenomenon that has never ever happened before. It's because problem, reaction, solution. They want, what is the problem with vehicles driving into crowds? Well, the vehicle. So what is the solution? Get rid of the drivers and go autonomous vehicles. Once again, digital, meaning that they can control you. And so a one world digital currency, a one world chip population, a one world fascist state, a one world religion, which was will be the climate. They're changing the climate into a religion with individuals like Greta Thunberg, totally Soros controlled, but there to push us into and get rid of all of religion. So they are trying to dilute and destroy all religions at the same time, and then join the whole world together around climate instead. And then a one world fascist army, a one world army, the US Army, military together with NATO and the United Nations troops in one big army, but they're not to defend us, but to control us.
I see. Interesting. Interesting. Oli, I've been in contact with Q recently, and Q has said to look behind Soros and look behind Bill Gates. To they're like puppets to their puppet masters. And would that be the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, or beyond that, higher beyond that?
I do you know, normally I'm on a street level. I've focused on one area to try and become as skilled in that area as possible so I can be part of making a change. Because I'm sure if you start looking into conspiracies, you know, it's all over the place and you sound like you're like totally paranoid. But when you look into the power structure, you will see that the top, it's in pyramids, within pyramids, within pyramids, within pyramids, totally compartmentalized. So most of us don't know the part that we're playing. Most of us in banks and other, you know, companies and stuff, we think that we're doing a good thing, but actually behind the scene, we're being controlled and the agenda is totally different. So it's very important that all of us look in the mirror and start seeing, am I in any way or form being part of this whole horrible machine dragging us all down? But when you look at individuals like George Soros, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Henry Kissinger, I mean, monsters, super, super psychopaths, but are they the absolute top? Absolutely not. They're on a lower level. So what is at the top? I like to make it simple, you know, and I just see it as evil. And I would say that the top of the pyramid, what they forget to tell us is the pyramid is actually turned upside down. So the top of the pyramid is low down in the abyss you can go. The top of the pyramid are the lowest of the low, of the, I don't even know what to call them, but it's pure evil. I mean, that is it. So I think that since Google is one of their inventions through the military systems and how they, you will never be able to find the real ones. They will never appear in searches on the internet if they are human. I don't even know if they're human. So people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Bill Gates and stuff, they are distractions. They are key players, but they're still distractions. Mm-hmm. So we have once again, you have to look at the bigger picture and see above, but also identify each and every one of them, because once you start seeing, for instance, don't look at what people are saying, look at their actions and look at their connections, and then start lifting the veil.
Many times my friends have told me that we've actually won the war. And the tide has turned against the negatives. And they're very desperate right now to try to turn things around. They will not succeed. Is that one way, a good way to look at what's happening now? Is that they've lost the war, actually. And we are ascending. We are making progress. And now they're doing everything they can to stop us.
I don't have a crystal ball. But okay. I can only speculate. What I see is the deed of desperation, you know. Because, and also when I compare to like 35, 40 years ago when I started, oh my God, I was so alone. I mean, it's been such a lonely, lonely road for decades. And now it's like in the millions. And you've got like people popping like popcorn everywhere, you know, because we've been pushed into a corner, and people that have been like this, I don't want to see, suddenly, they have been given the time, for one thing, to stay at home, and suddenly start, instead of in the rat race, they've started to say, hang on, how on earth did I get in this position? And they started having the possibility to look into things and also look logically at it, and then suddenly a totally different picture appears. So I think what I've been trying to be part of is to... You know, the fog is lifting. It's like we come with the sun, and the sun makes the fog lift.
Yeah, right.
So, and then once the fog is lifting, then all of us will start to see more clearly what is going on. And this is what I feel is happening. So the Dark Empire, if we call them that, have been able to rule us for hundreds of years without us even understanding what's going on. They've been able to use us as slaves, rob us right, left and center, do whatever they wanted to us, and very few of us have been able to even understand what's going on, because they've been so good at deception and manipulation and propaganda and control. But now, what are they going to do? They are losing, they're losing the grip, and the empire is falling apart, and they can't stop it. So this is where, just a few years ago, censorship was very subtle. You know, it was only people like myself and so that were being shut down. And then, like, if I said to somebody else, I said, well, I've been, you know, like, my videos are being deleted. Well, it must be something, you know, like, have you got a criminal past or something? You have done something, because otherwise they wouldn't do it. Now it's so obvious. It's like they're it's not subtle. It's like they're running around with a bazooka trying to shoot down every form of criticism.
That's
so
true.
So for no ordinary individuals as well, are sort of like, it doesn't make sense at all. So what is going on? Yeah. Like, the reason why I'm being shut down constantly is the same: hate speech. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I've done almost 1,000 interviews internationally. I challenge you, find one where I've said a hateful word ever, or a word in aggression, or racist, or whatever, but I'm being shut down for hate speech. So that just shows you there's no logic to it, except fear on their part.
I see. Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been broadcasting now for over 7 years out of Seattle, and I've been experiencing censorship on my program now, so I've had to move to an online format. This will be played out of an online BBS radio out of San Francisco. So, and they're pretty open. There's no censorship there. So I'm glad to have you on. I could not broadcast your interview on my Seattle station. They wouldn't allow it. Nope.
And what does that tell you? I mean, listen, have you got like 20 million listeners? Have I got 20 million viewers? Absolutely not. I'm pretty sure. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know about your station, but I don't think so. So why?
I have a lot, but not 20 million.
Fantastic. Good for you. Yeah. No, but it's like when I go on tour, for instance, I try to tour a lot because when you meet people face to face, the impact is so much better, I really try to empower people. I talk about death and destruction and bombs and I don't know what, but people leave sparkling, empowered and in love with each other. It's amazing. I love being on tour, but I'm heavily, heavily censored and attacked while I'm on tour. And we're talking about meetings of maybe 150 people, 100. Why would that be any kind of threat? If these forces are so powerful, it would be a joke. It would be like a fart in the night. Why do they bother? They bother because they are very scared of the truth, the power of the truth.
Right. Well, you know what happens when you find rats in the basement and it's all dark? You flip the lighter on, you shine a flashlight, they all scatter. It's the same way now. You know, you're shining light on things.
And that's why my website is called Light on Conspiracies.
Oh, lightofconspiracy.com.
Switch on the light and the cockroaches disappear.
Wow, amazing. Amazing. You've done several things on Olaf Palm. What happened to him? Would you mind explaining briefly what, I know maybe that's opening up another huge area, but if you wouldn't mind.
I would love to.
Okay.
So the alleged murder of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme is a murder that many people have never, ever heard of. At the same time, it is the biggest murder investigation in the world. It's the most expensive murder investigation in the world. So it is massive. And there's JFK and there's Olof Palme. Both of these two I specialized in. I've dedicated so many years to finding out what's going on. And the Palme case is absolutely mind-blowing. So the last year or so, I've been able to speak freely thanks to another researcher that stepped forward big time, because what I'm going to tell you now is based on more than 30 years of research, and I haven't been able to say it because it was so outrageous what actually happened. Because you got the official story. The official story is that Olof Palme was a controversial politician, but loved internationally. He was with the big boys, you know, Henry Kissinger, Bush. He was a peace negotiator between Iran and Iraq. They were talking about him being the next head of the United Nations, and so on. So he was a big player from a small country. Sure. And Sweden is also very special because it's a neutral country, at least officially, even though it's got a big arms industry. So go figure how that works.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how shall I start this? Okay, the official story is that nothing was unusual. He was just this Friday evening, he and his wife went to the cinema without bodyguards. They were in the cinema. While they were there, there was an assassin that was standing waiting outside. And this assassin was a drug addict that mistook Olof Palme for the guy that sells him drugs, his drug dealer.
Oh, okay.
Because they had the same fur hat on. And so when Olof Palme and his wife came out, they decided to walk home through the old city in Stockholm where they lived, which was about like 2-3 mile walk. And this was late in the evening, 20 past 11 in the evening. And so this drug dealer, no, the drug addict, Christer Pettersson, ran to his drug dealer's home, broke in, grabbed a gun there, and managed to predict where they were going to walk, and then stood there waiting for them. And when they passed him, he went up behind them with a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum and fired two shots, one through the body of Olof Palme, killed him instantly, and one shot towards his wife and barely touched her over the back. She was hit, but barely, you know, like nothing serious. And then he ran off. This was in February 28, 1986, so many years ago. So the official investigation have found over the years, they have spent 2 billion, I say 2 billion Swedish krona, which is not the same in dollars, but it's a heck of a lot of money. A lot of money. So what have they found out? They have found out about 0.02% of nothing.
It's
the exact same thing with the JFK thing, you know, that still to this day, it doesn't matter how much evidence that comes forward. The official story is it was still Lee Harvey Oswald, maybe one more shooter. Instead of seeing it was a massive hit, it was a massive, massive ambush, you know. And I can come on your show one day if you want. We can go through all of the shooters, their positions, their whole thing, how they got there, how they left, you know. So anyway,
I'd love to have you on that. That'd be great.
You know, we can do all the big ones like Robert Kennedy as well. I've identified the polka dot and all of these. Also, I've got like absolute breaking news around Martin Luther King, how he actually died, how he was actually hit more than once. And so these type of things that are officially the lid is on big time. The truth is out, you know. And so with Olof Palme, normally I have like a 3-hour presentation first where I just show thousands of weird things that appeared. Everything from the autopsy protocol being censored totally, like 50% of it is covered over with black ink. It took 8 years to get it out, to get a public copy of it. The death certificate has the wrong address. It's the Swedish Prime Minister. They even got the address wrong. You have witnesses have been terrorized. Lots of people have died in mysterious circumstances. Right. Journalists, witnesses, police officers, people that knew too much, people that were, you know, lots of people have died, but no one knows that in Sweden or the rest of the world. I've written a book called Coup d'etat in slow motion. It's almost 1,000 pages. Wow. And the official version would be like, I could fit it in on one page. So either I'm really good at fantasizing like Harry Potter style for 999 pages, or there is a different story behind it. So since you asked me, I'm going to jump right into what the real truth is.
Okay.
According to me, because up until now, I've been looked upon like an absolute woohoo tinfoil hat and been laughed at. And now more and more people are stepping forward from high positions within government and secret police and so on, backing what I have been saying for many years.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you the official. Here is what happened. So prepare. It's a bit of a long haul. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So he was killed officially in February of 86. But in 1982-83, he was diagnosed with some kind of weird virus. They did not know what it was. And officially he received it or got it when he was in India. But at that point, they didn't know what was going on. They just saw, you know, they had all of these different examinations. They could not identify what it was. It turned out after a few years, with the help of the laboratories of Tetra Pak. Do you know Tetra Pak? They are the ones, milk cartons and stuff.
It's a
Swedish invention. And Hans Rausing, the owner of that factory, used his laboratories to help to find out what was going on with the Swedish Prime Minister. But this was super secret. And in 85, the fall of 85, they found out, or that was when AIDS erupted in the world. In 85, the first major celebrity that stepped forward was Rock Hudson, which was like a shock, a global shock, because at that time it was called the gay plague.
Right.
You know, totally connected with homosexuality, and that you could only get it through gay sex. There was nothing about blood at that time, or that you could get infected. So it was very shameful at that time to have that verdict. Anyway, in some time during 85, they found out it's actually AIDS that he has got, or whatever AIDS is covering. Nowadays, AIDS is a massive big umbrella on a lot of different diseases, but it's created through a military invention, or it's a bioweapon by Dr. Robert Gallo, is one of the people behind the HIV virus that is then got into the AIDS. He's also the one that they say was the one that found the AIDS virus. No, he was part of creating it.
My goodness.
Yeah, you can see there's an incredible documentary called In Lies We Trust by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Fantastic, fantastic documentary. Mm. Anyway, so it came to a point where he was diagnosed HIV going into AIDS. So it was only a matter of time with this disease before it would show in your face. So you can't hide it with makeup or you know, keep, you know. And at that point, you know, when Rock Hudson and all of these other AIDS patients were in media all the time, it's like it was very clear that that type of thing happening with your body could not be, you couldn't give it any other explanation.
Sure.
So Olof Palme and a handful of people, they were only like five or six, a small little group of his closest friends, not friends, but the secret police. You had his advisor, you had the chief of the Swedish CIA, you had like a Swedish type of James Bond, I would say, you know, a fixer, a police officer. But he was, this was the team that was called in emergencies when there were scandals or whatever. They were called in to sort this whole thing out. Anyway, so they had a series of meetings where it was a massive crisis, because if this came out, it would destroy the Social Democratic Party big time. And they had been at that time more or less in power for 40 years straight.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So it was unheard of. It's the only place in the world that this has happened. There was a few years before they started having problems, but still a thing like that would just be a killer to the whole Social Democratic, not only party, but power structure.
Structure, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that also, everything that Olof Palme had been working for his whole life, everything he had accomplished, would forever be destroyed. He would have AIDS brand, you know, like branded on his forehead. His family would forever be living in shame. He would die a horrible death. So option one, that this is was his advisor called Lee Boone came up with. Option one, you do what you're supposed to do. You step forward, you say, I'm very sorry, because he was bisexual. I'm very sorry I had sex with multiple people, including Shirley MacLaine, Emma Rothschild. He has an illegitimate child with Emma Rothschild, but also with gay people. And I've retracted this virus. And, you know, to step up, say, do the right thing, be honest about it, it would totally destroy everything. Option two, and here comes the key one. His advisor said, there's this person that you always admired, JFK. And what happened, the second this bullet entered his skull, he turned into a legend. A legend who was untouchable. His name was forever in neon lights. This is what has happened with JFK. I mean, it's very recently that you started to be able to criticize him at all. So the advisor's option two was, why don't we arrange a staged assassination? A staged assassination.
Interesting.
With a double. But what actually happened is the double gets killed, but you leave and you're flown down in a private jet to the south of Europe, where you're going to live the rest of your days in luxury in one of the elites' castles. You will have a slight plastic operation. You can move freely. You can have your mistresses come down. Your family can come down. You will have the best treatment you possibly that money can buy. Everything will be taken care of. And you will be a legend. The name Olof Palme will be a legend forever. What do you choose? What would you choose? I mean, option one or option two, absolute chaos and mayhem and destruction and scandal, or option two, possible da-da-da-da-da-da.
And
so he decided to go for option two.
Oh, and wow.
This happened in the fall of 1985. And from that day on, once they decided to put this operation together, he started to behave very different. Because, are you still there?
I'm still here, my friend. I lost video, but that's okay. Keep going. Yeah,
okay. Keep going. Is the video back?
No, my video is working, but yours is not.
Okay, I think, no?
Anyway. No, but it's okay. I mean, I think it's important to get this message out. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, just have a still photo, whatever. Anyway, so from that point on, he started behaving very differently. He used to be a puppet for the elite. He was a Bilderberger, and part of the Bilderberg group. He was, running errands for the big bankers. And doing everything they wanted, including illegal arms trading. He was involved in all kinds of weird stuff with George Bush Sr., Oliver North, the Iran-Contras in these areas as well. And also he was involved in sex with minors and, like the elites are, the whole pedophile. From that day on, he suddenly started working on creating the legend of Olof Palme, meaning destroy everything, all kinds of evidence that could be connected to him after his death into these darker areas, So people around him were like, what is going on with him? He wasn't interested in politics. When they had meetings, he was sitting playing the flute and totally, he said, do whatever you want. Sometimes he was very emotional. He just started crying. He was just very erratic. And also he started stopping gunpowder deliveries to Iran, Iraq, to the Iran-Iran war. He was George Bush had Oliver North fly over to meet him because they wanted Olof Palme to sign some end-user certificates for some Stinger missiles, which he totally refused. He had always been their dog before, if you understand what I'm saying. And then now he suddenly gave them the finger and said, get the hell out of here. So he threw Oliver North out and said, if you ever come back, I'm going to nail all of you. And I mean all of you. I have this from Chip Tatum, the former, he's a CIA black op whistleblower as well. And he was the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team, Pegasus, taking out at least 14 people. So not amateur. And he overheard these conversations and so on. So anyway, at the same time, also, they started preparing the hit team for this fake assassination. But they couldn't use their own people because if a geek like myself would come around, I would suss it out within a very short time, oh, my God, this and this and this guy and this guy, all of them connected to that. And this would be a scandal unbelievable. It's like the first investigator of this murder, he said that if the real truth comes out, it would shake Sweden in its foundations. That is what he said. What they needed was to recruit a real hit team. And so they contacted a colonel in South Africa, his name is Craig Williamson, a very brutal individual. And without him knowing that it was actually Olof Palme that was the one arranging for his own assassination, he just got like Mission Impossible, money, the photo of the target, the photo of description. And so his task was to put together a hit team, and which he did at a place west of Johannesburg in South Africa called Daisy Farm, where he put together like a Mission Impossible team of assassins from different nations, without any connections between them. So they were perfect for a hit team like that. they were trained for a few months there and then flown to Stockholm to try and map out his movements, the victim's movement or the target's movement, and where would be a good place to hit him. So right. The reason why they needed a real hit team was because if they, like I said, if they used fake ones, it would be easy to expose. But all the whole idea was that the real hit team would be equipped by weapons by this Swedish James Bond type. His name was Carl Gustav Östling. He would help them with everything from vehicles, lodging, food, anything needed, you know, radio equipment and ammo as well. And the whole idea was that just before the assassination, when they got a green light, he would swap the ammo with blanks so that the hit team themselves would also think that it was a real hit. Because otherwise, if they knew it was a fake hit, you would have a very big possibility of blowback in the form of blackmail. Do you know, right. Like, if you don't give us 45 million, billion, trillions, we will expose this whole thing. Right. Do you know, right. So they needed real people, skilled, but the idea was to swap the ammo at the last minute. That was the plan. So the hit team is flown from South Africa to Luxembourg and then driven from Luxembourg in a Winnebago van to Sweden. Some of them came in private planes, some of them came with trains, and then they located around Stockholm, starting to plan for this hit. And but at the same time, because Olof Palme was behaving so erratic and so crazy, you know, he wanted like a nuclear free zone in Scandinavia, which would block the whole Baltic Sea for American submarines with atomic weapons. That mm-hmm. The whole thing, I mean, Scandinavia is extremely strategic between right. Russia and the West, you know, so major problem here. So and because he was doing all of these bizarre things, there was a series of crisis meetings in Wiltshire in London, in England, where they met. It was people from NATO, from Gladio, from banking systems, from, you know, the Men in Black, different intelligence agencies, sure. All kinds of groupings met at these secret meetings. And what they decided was like, my God, this, he's gone crazy. We used to be able to trust him, and now he's just mad. Yeah. We need to stop him. So they decided, and I even got the documents from these meetings, top secret, cosmic top secret, that's what they label. They decided we need to take him out before it's too late, before he makes any more destruction of our planet. So they sent a hit team to Sweden, to Stockholm as well. So, but what happens is when if we call them the NATO team and we call the other team the fake team, okay, they're two different. When the NATO team comes on location, they discover that, oh my God, there's already a team here keeping him under surveillance, mapping him. So they report back to NATO and say, what are we going to do? And NATO grouping say, well, it's brilliant. Let's just stealth them. Let's just be like a shadow behind them and make sure that they finish the job. So I can go on and on and on, but it just goes more and more bizarre. So when the actual hit happens, and it happens where Olof Palme actually was the one picking out the site for the assassination, it's right outside the Gladio the headquarters of Gladio, NATO's secret ghost army. It's an insurance company called Skandia. So that was where the hit was supposed to happen. But I don't know what to say. It's so complicated that. But anyway, when Olof Palme, he knows that he's going to die or die officially and be taken out with a private jet. So he's in very good spirits this day. Everything is prepared. Everything is perfect. And then the guy who's supposed to exchange the ammo with blanks get an appendix,
appendicitis, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's taken to hospital urgently and it's being operated. He wakes up in the afternoon and it's just like oh my God, what time is it? What time, what date is it? They say it's Friday the 28th, it's 15 something. And so he more or less jumps up from the operation table, bleeding. I mean, they sewn him, but he's bleeding, he's in a lot of pain, but right. He is panicking because he knows this is the day it's going to happen. I need to exchange the ammo. So he's rushing like hell to get on location and swap the ammunition to the whole team. If that succeeds or not, I'm not totally sure about at this point. But right. In the meantime, NATO is also present in Stockholm, but with a hit team of snipers. So they're on the other side of the street. So when Olof Palme walks up to the place where he's supposed to be hit, first he's exchanged with a double, like some 50 yards before this happens. He's taken into the insurance office and taken out on the back of the building, driven to an airport where a private jet plane is taking him down south to the south of Europe. But the doubles that think that they're in for a fake assassination, when he walks forward, the real killer behind him has real ammo in his .357, and as well as a sniper on the other side of the street. So when the killer puts his hand on the shoulder and puts the gun up against his back, that at the exact same second, the sniper on the other side of the street fires as well. So suddenly you have a guy with bullet holes from two different directions, a person that was not supposed to even be dead. And this whole thing has created a 34-year chaos of trying to cover the whole thing up, what was actually going on.
Wow, amazing. So he did die.
Nope.
Oh, he didn't die. Okay.
No, the double died.
Double died. Okay.
The double died. He was taken out, flown out from Sweden, I think somewhere down near Chamonix in the south of France, right. to start with. I have sightings of him in Toronto, in Canada, and as far as I know, he died years later in outside Moscow. So I think I know the exact. It's just a little town, Russian town. And I know the exact graveyard where he's buried.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm writing a novel, yeah. But wow. A very, very true novel called Guilty Victim, because wow. That is exactly it, Guilty
wow.
Victim.
Wow. Ollie, you have such a wealth of information. I would love to have you back on again soon. Maybe we could do a series of segments, because you have so much information. Just one show doesn't do justice to all of your interesting knowledge, fascinating knowledge. And I think people need to know it too, because they live under an illusion of one set of reality, when the reality that you're exposing is quite different.
I just want all of us to be left alone. You know, right. Let us live in freedom. Let us be. But we've been hijacked for such a long time, and right. We've been hijacked just like the Wizard of Oz, like this power that is invisible. But once right. We manage to see and pull the curtain, we will see that it's such a weak power structure, mostly consisting of very old guys with no power except the big microphone and the amplifier, you know, right. And the amplifier is mainstream media and all of these outlets controlled by them, where they can control the information outlet. But sure. Really, when you look at them, they're very, very weak. And that is why they need deception. They need censorship. They need to fear someone like myself,
right.
Because they are so weak. So right. What I would very much like to do is pull the curtain and just say, listen, there's no need to be afraid. We're being played here, folks. That is why I dedicate and I also risk my life of exposing these things, because we're being told that life is hell. It's so beautiful. We're being told that we live in a horrible place, in a war zone. But I'll tell you, most of us, if we look out the window, it's absolutely beautiful. So yeah. The thing is to snap out of the spell. We've been put asleep like with a spell, like what's her name? Cinderella? No, it's not Cinderella. The other one.
Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Not the Wizard of Oz, but the one that bites the apple and go boom. So what's her name?
Oh, Adam and Eve?
No, not Adam and Eve either.
No.
It's the cartoon Do you know with the dwarfs, the 12?
Oh yeah, and the seven dwarfs. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Okay,
so we both know who I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like that. We've been put asleep with a spell, and now what can wake us up is the kiss of love. You know, it's love that will wake us up, but in the form of compassion and information as well. We need the information to break the spell, but the solution is love on the other side. So it's a very symbolic story, and I think we are at unprecedented times, so it's a very incredibly inspiring and a little bit scary time to be alive, because who knows how it will go.
Well, I'm a psychic, and I've been in touch with the other side, with many great spirits, and even Nostradamus told me, must have been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said, I'd love to change places with you, to be there during this historic moment in humanity's history, because we are turning the tide. Many, many people are waking up, Oli, thanks to you and many of my work and many light workers. And we really are on the start of a beautiful new planet, and the planet's ascending. So they're all saying to keep up your good work, Oli, keep informing the public, keep waking people up, because we are all, you're making a difference, and we're all making a difference to make this planet a better place. And it is, the tide has turned, and it is shifting, even though it may not seem it at the time, but good things are ahead for us, and I know that to be true.
I'm almost at a point where I think the dragon is already slain, you know, but it's the tail that is just going all over the place, just causing mayhem and mayhem, you know. I think the game is already over for them, but it's for us to wake up as well, and also for us to focus and see what type of world do we want to see on beyond this whole thing, because we can go into lynching times when people start understanding how few that have created so much pain for so many for such a long time. Right. It could very easily be a bloodbath, you know, and lynching times, but if I have any say in that, I would say, please, please be aware of the karma that we create in that case. Because if we go the same way as they do with violence and revenge and anger can be good, but to get yourself moving, but anger towards others are never good. So it's like, if we do that, we can very well just repeat, just like what the word revolution means, it means you repeat the thing. That is not the solution. The solution is to transcend it in a beautiful, beautiful way. And right. I would very much like to finish this with a prayer. And I'm not religious because, I don't like religions myself, because they're so often used as a control mechanism over so many people. So I'm not a fan of that. I like people to be without, not being controlled. But I am a spiritual being, and the prayer I love goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness. So victory to that light. We need to heal. All of us need to heal. That's the thing. If the dark ones are not healed, it will just go on and on and on. You can kill them, but then the karma will repeat it. So it's like, it's a tricky one, but I really believe in, and also when you look at this from a bigger point of view, like you are on a spiritual level as a psychic, you will also know that what we're looking at is one level of 3D reality. There's a whole big universe of so much, much, much bigger than we ever can even imagine. And on that level, it's almost like we need to thank these dark forces to help us wake up, you know, because without them, you and I would never have met. Without them, millions of people would still be asleep. So it's like, it's indirectly, we have to, the worst pains in the butts are also the ones that helps us if we choose to use it like that. Sure. So I so do not justify their actions. I will do everything I can to stop them and transcend it, but I do not judge them. I do not judge them, because also when you look at psychopaths, they're born like that. You can't blame them. They don't have it in them. They don't have compassion and empathy. But the ones that we should blame are ourselves. We have to look ourselves in the mirror.
Well, Ole, you're doing such good work to help turn the tide and ascend, help humanity ascend. The next time you have a worldwide call on some important information you want to get out, call me anytime, email me anytime, and you're welcome on my show. I'd love to do a series with you as well on these various topics, because we can't get everything done in just in the time we have today. But thank you so much again for your wonderful work. And also, could you give out your website and how people could contact you for more information?
For sure. My website is Light on Conspiracies, because that is exactly what I try to do. Aim the light at in the belly of the beast, into the darkest of the dark corners of this, because once we do that, totally nonviolent, the truth will do the job. We don't have to do anything else, just use the light of truth, and that would be it. So my website is lightonconspiracies.com. I'm heavily censored in so many different places, so my YouTube channel has been deleted, and I put videos up, boom, they get shut down. But that just shows you also that apparently I'm over target. So I'm on Patreon as well, patreon.com/lightonconspiracies. I do a live show every Monday with Jason Goodman in New York, and we have all kinds of incredible guests there. I've done like between 500 and 1,000 international interviews, so you can find me on many, many different platforms. And also, if anyone would like to support me in this trying to, or changing this tide, turning this tide, then the donation button's extremely appreciated. Or my newsletter, I've got a monthly newsletter where I show everything I can, with a lot with pictures, just pointing these things out so people can see for themselves what actually happened. And also, I'm not up to date now. I predicted up 59 alleged terror or mass shooting attacks up to 2 months before they actually happened on international radio, up to 2 months before they actually occurred. And so in the archives, you can also see, this is where I said it, that's when it happened. This is when I said it, that's when it happened. And so it's come to a point actually where my last name, Damagard, has become a verb. To Damagard, or hashtag Damagarding, is to find hidden clues about upcoming attacks. Wow. So, what can I say? Just like you say, we are all important. This is the thing. So many people don't see their own value or their own importance. And the importance, you will know if you look for your what you're compassionate about, what is your passion, your skills, what you are good at. See how you can use that for the benefit of all of us, and you will find your way.
Right, absolutely. Well, Ole, thank you so much for your wonderful work. I know everyone's going to be really enjoying listening to your interview today, and thank you again for helping in the ascension of humanity.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you for creating a platform like that. And also, 7 years, if you're on the fire, that is a long time. So I really applaud you for doing that. It's people like you who, I don't know you personally or your background, but I know, I can see in your eyes, here's someone who's just said, enough is enough. Someone needs to do something, and I will take a stand and stand in my truth. So I really applaud you for doing this, and also opening the doors for people like myself to be heard.
Oh, my pleasure, Ole. Actually, I had a life in Atlantis 12,500 years ago, and I tried to stand up to a small military and industrial clique back then, but failed. They ended up destroying much of the planet with nuclear and crystalline technologies. Many of those actors are on the stage again today, and it's the same pattern being played out. Some have reformed, some have made better choices, and they are ascending. But some haven't, and we're kind of playing this scenario all over again. But the good thing is that this time the life forces will win, the planet will ascend, and we will succeed where we failed before, because it's the destiny of planet Earth to become a much better and happier place.
I totally agree with that, and I'm so excited to be part of this whole thing. You know, so happy days, but courage You need to be brave here. It's not enough to just like things on Facebook. You need to act as well. Get your butt out of the chair. Follow your truth, whatever it is. Not violent, but become active, and do out. Be good. Do good. Help people around you. You know, empower people and empower your communities, your cities, your country, whatever it is. Just see if you can help to lift it. There's so much fear out there, so much frustration, so much despair, and all of us are needed. So let's do it.
Absolutely, Ollie. Well, listen, thank you so much again for coming on my show today. I'll send you the link when I play it soon on it'll be out of my new San Francisco-based show online.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, Ollie, have a beautiful day, and thank you so much again.
You too.
Great. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Tani hikari.